Yo, what is going on, people? Welcome back to the podcast. Happy New Year. Happy New Year. Blessings and salutations and big wishes for 2022. I'm not going to lie, man. It's good to be back. It's good to be back on the podcast. Obviously, had a little break for Christmas and New Year's. Literally just been working as well. Like, just securing the bag, man. Securing the bag. It's got to be done. Like, I started my new job just before Christmas. And yeah, it's been cool. It's been cool. I'll probably announce some more stuff about that in on my social media. I've been saying this for like 2 months. I'm working my way back to social media, and I'm working my way back because, you know, like, social media is such a big part of like everyone's life, and people got to use it for different things like business or just personal pleasure. Some people are just Instagram fiends and stuff like that. I've never really been one of them people that look at next people's life. Obviously, I know we do the podcast every single week where we talk about some of the big music events, but trust and believe, if I feel like I would see this stuff, because sometimes you get these stories, you know, planted at you, but would I actively be seeking out these stories and, like, you know, on it straight away? Probably not. Do you know what I mean? I'm one of them people that I keep myself to myself. Do you know what I mean? As much as obviously I can be loud and bubbly sometimes, I'm very much just like I'm a chill man. You know, I was there. I just like to keep it moving. Do you know what I mean? We're never in one space for too long if you don't have to be. But nah, man, I'm really glad to be back. Really, really glad to be jumping on the podcast again. Of course, this is the first episode of 2022. I want to say a massive thank you to everybody who locked into at least one episode in 2021. Obviously, we had some really, really good artists that blessed us and came through. We also had some really good, interesting topics that you guys liked from when it was just this format of What a Week. So thank you to everyone who's locked in and shown support. And yeah, man, we got a lot of episodes we got to drop in 2022, and I'm going to try and be as consistent as I can be with as many episodes. But on today's podcast, or yeah, today's episode, I should say, like, we're just pretty much going to be talking about three main things. We're going to start off with a little introduction about The Weeknd and Dawn FM, because I still actually haven't listened to the whole album yet. I'm going to be doing that on, well, by the time you guys hear this, I probably would have listened to it, but I'm going to probably do that on like Sunday night. Do you know what I mean? I feel like it's a Sunday night kind of vibe album, so I'm going to be doing that. But we're going to speak about this, like, my first impression of it when I skimmed through some of the songs on Friday. Then we're also going to talk about Swarms and this whole delivery nonsense and this whole just whole madness that's gone down over the last week. That was a bit mad. That was the key What a Week of the week. You know what I'm saying? So we're going to talk about that. And of course, we are going to be talking about Roddy Ricch and why Live Life Fast has failed, or the project seems to have flopped. You know what I mean? Or has it? Question mark. But I gotta say, shout out to The Weeknd, you know, announcing on Monday the album, doing all the work for it, and like a nice surprise drop. Not necessarily a surprise drop, but just a rollout with no real force or anything. Like, usually with The Weeknd or these other big superstar artists, they've gotta put like a few months work into really building up to the album. But you know, I can respect it, because he just kind of came out of nowhere, really. Not came out of nowhere, but just announced it on Monday. He's like, yo, I'm dropping on Friday, let's go. Do you know what I mean? Just did some promo for it. Obviously, we had Quincy Jones and Jim Carrey rumored to be on it. I still haven't finished the whole album, to be honest. But the whole point of it, yeah, is the rollout purposes of things like, you know, The Weeknd, when Beyonce did it. Beyonce's one was more of a surprise drop, because it actually just dropped and no one knew, and then everyone jumped on it. They're the drops I like more, because it's like, no one's ready for it. Everyone's gearing up for an album, so everyone can still talk about your album, which is basically you allowing everyone else to promo your album for you, which is perfectly fine. But I like the surprise element, even more of a surprise element. It's like being told that your birthday's coming up and someone's kind of like accidentally slips that you're having a surprise birthday party, and it's like, okay, so now I'm just going to wait till Friday. Do you know what I'm saying? Maybe not so much aligned with that, but aligned similarly to it. Do you know what I'm saying? But either way, The Weeknd's album, very much a vibe of, from what I've heard and what I've skimmed through and what I've read about, very much an 80s style themed album based around this radio station and stuff. And really and truly, like, I'm not gonna be mad on it, innit? I like it. What I heard, I've liked it. But if I'm being real, Tory Lanez did that a month ago. Like, and that's the thing. Tory Lanez's album, I think it's called Alone at Prom. I've only skimmed that as well, to be fair. Like, that, it was decent. I'm not even gonna lie, that was a pretty decent album from what I heard. I need to go through it. I haven't really been listening to albums that much in the last, between December and now. But like, that was a pretty decent project, and it was 80s themed. But because he's kind of black, well, he's not even kind of, he is blacklisted really and truly from a lot of places and a lot of outlets, yeah? Like, people champion this Weeknd album,
But they won't say, oh yeah, we saw something similar in this iteration that Tory Lanez did with his album, because they don't want to talk about Tory Lanez, innit? So it's a bit of a weird situation in that sense. Not saying that because someone did it first, someone else can't do it. It's just sometimes in this recent R&B hemisphere, if someone did it a month ago, you should kind of say, this album sounds a bit like what, you know, this did. So I feel like maybe YouTubers and everyone else will say it, but like your bigger media outlets and stuff like that, you know, the ones that have definitely got a clamp on Tory or don't want to, you know, express Tory until potentially after this court case and stuff comes out, will have something to say on that matter. Do you know what I mean? But we move on. But yeah, let's talk about this Roddy Ricch tape then. Let's talk about that. Live Life Fast, LLF. Did it flop? Did it not? Now, let's talk about it. Really and truly for me, I feel like this tape, it flopped in a sense that numerically, which is, I always don't really look to numbers straight away as my first instance of something flopping, because someone could have a tape that has 2,000 like streams in a week, but it could be fire. And in a year's time, it could be the biggest record. Like, bit like CK's Love, No One Titty, which was, came out like 2020, it blew up end of 2012, middle of 2021. Mooski's Trap Star did the same thing in the same time period. It blew up very early 2021, but came out in 2020. Like, you get certain songs that just blow up really late. So just because it might have been released and got like 500 plays doesn't mean it's trash. But with Roddy Ricch and his album, Please Excuse Me for Being Antisocial, that came out December 2019, that was a massive album for him. And honestly, as an album that kind of rolled into 2020, that was my favorite album of like 19/20, because it had everything. The melodies on it were fire, like the vibe of it, the features were sick, like everything on it just hit. It was I wouldn't go far and say it was an amazing album, but there's only a few albums in this like very diluted music space that we're in where we get like thousands of songs come out each week, but obviously you kind of lock into your favorite artists and see what they're offering. I couldn't say that that album was one of the ones that stood out. Like, I know obviously Travis Scott is not the main flavor of the moment, but Astroworld was another one of them albums that had the same effect. Like, I know I can wheel up Astroworld right now and enjoy it. Don't get me wrong, like certain things are gonna be in the back of my mind as I'm listening to it, but at the same time, I'm enjoying the album. Do you know what I mean? Same thing goes for Please Excuse Me for Being Antisocial Now. Like, I was listening to that like the end of 2021 and I was enjoying it, getting ready for this album. So that album did 100, that Please Excuse Me did like 100 and something plus in America, right? In its first week. This album, Live Life Fast, only did about 65K. So actually, you can see there's a 40K drop off. And usually with Roddy Ricch, sophomore album, you'd expect it to do a lot better. You'd expect it to be the album that, you know, maybe hits 150, 125, or at least shows maybe even hit the same, but maybe like 5K difference. So if he hit 115 last time, he gets 120. It still shows some sort of progression. Don't get me wrong, a lot of people were arguing the fact that, you know, he hasn't dropped, like, you know, he hasn't dropped in 2 years, but really and truly with the end of 2020 drops, or end of year drops in general, even if it came out like say December 2021, they usually flow in, they usually build momentum and continue their momentum into the next year. So for example, 2021, the drop would continue its momentum into 2022. So it's one of them situations where, like, you know, I feel like people would say, yeah, he hasn't dropped in 2 years. He hadn't, but he was still appearing on certain things. Like, off the top of my head, he was on that Stunner Man song with Birdman and Lil Wayne. Of course, that's not really something that is going to gravitate towards people. He was on, I'm trying to think actually, to be fair, it was few and far between, don't get me wrong. It weren't like he was around bare, but he was jumping up here and there. He was on the Lemonade remix as well with Internet Money that came out 2020, I believe. Then he was on the Too Easy remix that came out just before his album. Then we had Late at Night that came out in the middle of the year. Now that was a key point, right? So by the time he dropped Late at Night, which is on the album, and so some people still think that's the best song. I kind of can see where they're coming from, to be fair. With me, when I listened to that album, that was when I was starting to be a bit worried. Sorry, listen to that single. That's when I started to kind of get worried about him, because I looked at it and I was like, nah, this sounds like High Fashion. Like, if you listen to Blasts About You, Roddy Ricch's High Fashion, and then Roddy Ricch's Late at Night, they all sound like they're from the same school. They just graduated different years apart. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, and that is something that I was worried about. I was like, bro, the song is still nice, like Late at Night, Kiss Me, all that. It's great, innit? But I heard High Fashion first. So I like high fashion. It's like I was having this conversation with one of my mates about Gunna yesterday. Like, there was a song, I think it's called South, the song's called Southwest of D4 Forever or whatever, yeah, or DS Forever. When I first read it, I thought it's the D4 Server. That's how, you know, I was tired when I first read it. But like, it was literally a situation, yeah, where like, with certain Gunna songs, they all sound kind of samey, but depending on the song, you might be still here for it. Do you know what I mean? Where that Southwest song, which is, I believe that's what it's called, so don't quote me on it, but it's quite late in the track list on the album. Like, I've heard that Gunna song like before, but it's just not called that, not the same lyrics, but I've heard it, but I'm still here for it. Whereas with this like Roddy song with Late at Night, it was very like, it's okay, like, but like, what else have you got? Do you know what I mean? Like, and he didn't really drop another single between that. So I think the problem with that was it kind of just made it a bit jarring. And then when we came to the album now, let me get my phone so I have it in front of me so I can run through this track list as well. And I know we've been talking for a long time, so I'm going to get some music on playing soon. But like, it's literally a situation, yeah, where like, if I go through his album and I see, okay, cool, Future, I'm like, can't really go wrong with a Future feature, but that was kind of dead. Roller Coaster is another one of them songs where it's like, kind of heard it already, innit? Do you know what I mean? I've heard Roller Coasting from Roddy Ricch before. Hibachi, yeah, like the whole line where it was like, I've got so many Jews in my circle, fuck a Nazi. I was like, that's a bit of a, I don't know about that. Like, that bar is, it's in the chorus as well. That's why you keep hearing it. So it's not like it's just a one off. It's like, M. Huncho got done for like having to change his lyrics on TNT with Nave Smalls. And he was saying like, Jewish money, call it Tel Aviv. Then he came out on Twitter and said, yo, I have to change it. So I think if you listen to that on like Apple Music and Spotify and all them places now, the lyric would be different because they were saying it was like anti-Semitic. So even though like this line from like, I don't know, like from Roddy Ricch, I wouldn't call it in the same, like exactly the same, but like it's one of them like gray area type bars, isn't it? It's like, I don't really know if I, I mean, it's like if I got so many black, it's like if, I don't know, it's like if a white person or said I got so many black people in my squad, I don't rate the KKK. Like, it's a weird bar, innit? It's, I wasn't really feeling it. I wasn't gravitating towards it. And I don't know if it was just me as well, like, but it just was something so weird. The song itself isn't that bad, but when you get them kind of like I said, mysterious gray area type bars, I don't really rate it. Do you know what I mean? And then some of the biggest disappointments for me was when I saw Jamie Foxx on the sample, not sample, on the feature for No Way. I was like, oh my God, like, this is going to be good. Do you know what I mean? Like, I haven't heard Jamie Foxx drop an R&B record since like Fool For Your Type or Blame It On The Alcohol and all that, right? He was just talking on it. And I was like, bro, you can't, don't put that as a feature. You wasted my time here. Do you know what I mean? And you slow it down with Ty Dolla $ign. And well, I can't remember who the featured artist is because I've got it. Hold on, let me open it up. I know it's the Isley brother, I believe. Right, so even with that song, I'm just trying to get it open at the same time. Like, with that song, it's again another really, really good song, yeah. But it's 50 seconds. Alex Isley, there we go. Like, it's so short. Why? Like, that honestly for me on first play was the best song on the album, and it's 50 seconds. And that was when it became difficult. Murder One with Fivio Foreign, I should say. Dead. I don't want to hear, don't jump on Joe, man. Come on, allow it. Even Don't I like Don't I with Gunna, but I like it now. But on first listen, again, it wasn't something that was hitting. And all the other songs like Thailand and 25 Mil, on the first listen, it weren't hitting. And this is the problem, right? This is my, I was like generic breakdown of the whole album. But a lot of people were like expecting, Please Excuse Me For Being Antisocial Too, naively. I'm including myself in that as well. I thought I was going to get a really good album here. Upon first listen, it was a very mid album. It weren't bad. It's not dead. It was very, very mid. And that's the problem. Like, when you go from having an album that really was not groundbreaking, but did a lot, and then you go back to a mid album where you're kind of not really saying anything of anything, the melodies aren't really hitting as much either, people are going to look at you and go, it's kind of dead, you know? Don't really rate it still. Like, what else you got? And that's the thing. In this very fast music market that we're in, people are not going to care. Do you know what I mean? People are going to move on now and just be like, yeah, I'm going to go do something else now. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm going to go enjoy this now. I'm not going to entertain everything, you know, everything I have to say, and we don't want to hear you. What's next? And obviously now, like, that album came out just before Christmas. What's Gunna's album saying? What's The Weeknd's album saying? Do you know what I mean? We've moved on. The music hemisphere has moved on because the album was bad to most people, even though it was a mid album. It wasn't actually that bad. It's just one of those situations where, yeah, it was just very mid, and it will take a while. He's gonna have to put a lot of work in if he really wants to keep Live Life Fast any momentum going, but I feel like the train has very steadily stopped. Even though it's still getting support, it's still getting radio play across loads of different places around the world, I just feel like the momentum across the album itself has halted a lot. Do you know what I mean? But let me know what you guys think. Let me know if you think this album was good, bad, terrible, trash, amazing, life-changing, groundbreaking. I don't know what you want to label it as, but make sure you let me know. But another thing that has come through, and this certifiably, yeah, is a flop. This is certifiably a flop for me, and I'm not even going to lie to you, because yeah, like this whole situation debacle, yeah, it could have been a big W. It could have been a really, really big W. Massive W. But it turned into an L. So if you don't know what I'm talking about, Swarms, yeah? He dropped, it was like a little leaked video, right? Of him pretending to work for Deliveroo. But everyone thought it was real, innit? That's the whole point of it. Everybody thought that Swarms was getting baited for working at Deliveroo. Like, he delivered some food, then the person who he delivered to just kind of like, he was getting in the list, she was like, excuse me, aren't you Swarms? And it's like, he's like, he tried to keep it moving, and then people were clowning him, saying, ha, you work for Deliveroo. Giggs came out and said, if it's fake or not, then, you know, like, it is what it is, blah, blah, blah. Like, you should be clowning the man for this. Then, very shortly after, we see that, you know, he's dropping a single called Deliveroo. It was just such a massive L. It was actually such a massive L. Like, because the song itself was terrible. It didn't hit. It was like, honestly, some of the worst. Like, it was the worst song I've heard all year. It's the worst song of the year so far. Like, the hook's dead. Quengface saved it, but he comes in too late to the song, so I'm not trying to hear that either. Like, really and truly, it's the worst song. It's had great promo. It wasn't even great promo. It had social media talking, UK social media talking. Only for you to, like, undeliver. Like, Swarms had a great 2020 with the whole kind of doing the UK quarantine radio stuff. I think it got him 1 million followers on Instagram. He done a lot. He done well for himself. But the music has never always been on high levels from Swarms, if I'm being real. There's been songs I've liked. I like Drive By. I think it's cool with T and Wayne. There's a few other songs I like from him. Like, it was all right when it came out. That was like 2018, 19, I think it was. Like, he's decent, but he's never been like an artist where I'm like, yeah, that's the guy. Like, I'm gonna hear what he's saying. Do you know what I'm saying? It's not been that, innit? Like, respectfully. Like, he might change, but after this song, the way the rollout was so beautiful, like, the way he had everyone, like, whether they clowned him or not, all promo to an extent is good promo, innit? Like, but the way he rolled out this song was terrible. I was looking at the comments when it came out and I was like, bro, this is bad. Like, this is one of those situations where the whole YouTube, like, not having the dislike button saved him, because I reckon this song could have potentially had more dislikes than likes. And I'm not even like trying to be mean or anything like that. It was honestly just a bad song. Just like, Quengface was fine on it, he was cool, but Swarms, terrible, absolutely bad.
And there we have it. That is pretty much some of the main interesting things that happened on the media hemisphere in the world this week. Of course, we had other things like Jason Derulo's fight when someone said, fuck you, Usher, or something like that on like Tuesday or Wednesday, and Jason Derulo turned into like Action Man and did a whole madness. It weren't funny, innit? It weren't funny, because it could have got like very left very fast, innit? But across the board, it's happened. That stuff's happened before, innit? Mistaken identity, especially something like I think it happened to Joey Badass once, about it, and someone said ASAP Rocky, and he went up to them and said, "Not ASAP Rocky, bitch," and they walked away. Some of that stuff, yeah, hilarious, absolutely hilarious, innit? But it's just one of them ones where it's just, yeah, Jason, you don't expect it. We were talking about this right earlier on in the week, me and a few people, and I was like, R&B man, yeah, they are like, a lot of these gangsters are not the rappers, they're the R&B man. Like, I'm pretty sure there's their stories. If I was to like do a deep dive and search every R&B artist, not every single one, but there's probably a story, and about especially the bait ones as well, yeah, there's a lot of stuff that they do, and it's like, you might be singing, but you really be out here singing in a different way, like, so it's just a bit mad in that sense, like, you know what I mean? So we have to wait and see what happens. Of course, we got a whole other week worth of content that we're going to have to wait and see happens. Let's see what the second full week of 2022 brings us. But for now, that's it. That is the end of the podcast. I want to say massive thank you to everyone who's locked in today. I will catch you guys in a bit and very soon. Stay safe, stay blessed, stay away from Omicron, and stay hydrated. in a bit. Peace.